Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Speaking of meaningless games, I was talking about football not being a sport that should be played in exhibition, and taking your calls on abolishing the preseason at 855-212-4227. Australia, very happy to have won a meaningless game over the United States basketball team at the FIBA World Cup. I think it was 78 straight the U.S. had won. Australia beats him. Patty Mills, 30 points. Patty Mills has been killing the U.S. in those games for the longest. That's how he first got on my radar. Yo, this dude is nice. Patty Mills. Joe Ingles also on Team Australia. Andrew Bogut. So some NBA guys. Basically, they beat the Boston Celtics. That's, you know, for all the people who are so high on the Boston Celtics, in Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown, and Marcus Smart, I think all on the U.S. team, all playing major minutes for the U.S. team after everyone else dropped out. I think the starting five is Kemba Walker, Donovan Mitchell, Joe Harris of the Nets, Miles Turner, and I'm missing somebody. But that's the starting five. Jaylen Brown. That's the starting five for the team. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Let's go to Dan in Greenville, South Carolina. Dan, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Dan?
Robin, always great to talk football. Great time of year. Getting ready to start Friday night, going to Saturday afternoon, and then dance all night. Stay a little longer on Sunday, baby.
You dance?
There is no such thing as a meaningless game. Because two things here. If you're going to get rid of preseason, you can't have seven rounds of the draft. Or you can have seven rounds of a draft, but you're going to have to really expand the roster. There is no such thing as we're just going to get rid of one thing. So I just ask you, because you're asking us, what would you be willing to trade off? You can't just get rid of that, because there are guys that are trying to make the team. You do
So why is there not another process through which they can evaluate talent?
Because they got rid of NFL Europe.
What?
They got rid of NFL Europe, which was their training league.
Okay, what if you had that? What if you had a developmental league that played when the preseason was taking place?
Okay, so if they bring that back, that's different. Now, I will say this. You need preseason games.
Why?
Because you do have to play a little bit to get ready for the season.
Why can't that happen in week one? I mean, it would be in a little bit of an adjustment, but why can't you get ready in week one?
All right, so I'll just use this example. And just so you know, I played quite a long time. I played till I was 31. I was a defensive end.
Okay.
You have to have live game action with the guys you're on the field with for communication, for speed, for continuity, for fluidity. Both sides of the ball need that. You don't need a lot of it, but you got to get some of it. Now, I will point this, being a defensive guy, you see how bad the tackling is since they've gotten rid of all the contact in summer practice. It usually takes till about week three till your defenses stop missing a lot of tackles they should make.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you see a little bit sloppier play the first 2 weeks. So imagine if you weren't hitting, you weren't tackling as much as you should to work on it, because you always work on it at every level, and then you take away preseason games. You're never going to stop injuries. I do look at the Green Bay game they had. I don't understand why Rashawn Gary was put back into the game. I think that is a total drop of the ball by the medical staff and the coaching staff. You can't make bad decisions. I think they should go to three games. And if I controlled it, I would just say very simply, the starters play the first two series, and that's it, of every game. You have more than enough time the rest of those three games to evaluate all your secondary and third and fourth year talent. And it gives you, whether they're both three and out or not, you're only giving your starters six series to play in the preseason, which is not that much, but it's enough for them to get on the field each game and then have to go to the bench and then go back out on the field for a second series.
That's valid. I'm not sure why there couldn't be an alternative for evaluating it. And then how do you answer when, like, say the Colts, for instance, they decided they were going to start their guys and then they pulled the okey-doke and said, no, we're not putting our starters out there. So if the teams themselves are not playing their starters, you know, isn't there diminishing returns for this preparation aspect of it? Isn't there another way to replicate that as well?
Well, one of the things you're starting to see is a lot of teams. The real big thing that's getting popular now is two teams getting together at practice.
Yeah, that's what I brought up before. And I've heard that the players think that that is more valuable than preseason.
Yes, because they're doing it right. Because what they're doing is they're doing a lot of one-on-one drills, five-on-five drills, and seven-on-seven skeleton drills. And you need that against a guy that you could care less about, that you are trying to put his head in the dirt and step on him to get to the quarterback, or you're trying to put his head in the dirt to keep from getting to your quarterback. Talking trench-wise, you need that guy that you're not looking at that is like, well, I got to take it a little bit easy on this guy. He's my teammate. I might need him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That is a very good thing that they are doing. I still go back to, though, you have to think about the guys that are trying to make the roster. And unless you were going to create another NFL Europe and actually have a true minor league system like baseball has or the NBA, you have to make something there. You just can't get rid of preseason football.
Oh, I understand. Like, it doesn't magically happen. And I appreciate your perspective and point of view and experience on that. And I would say what I would do is to, you know, my ideas just off the top are, one, like you said, maybe a developmental league that plays when the preseason would normally take place and maybe even in the off season as well. And then two would be the joint practice experience, where the joint practice is the meat of the sandwich and the bread on either side is fan engagement. And you could sell tickets to the joint practices. Because, you know, the training camp already does stuff like that where they bring fans in for whatever. If you actually made it more of an event where there was something to watch, a product to view, I think fans would be more apt to pay for that given that they could get an experience from it, whether it's getting on the field and doing drills or, you know, autographs afterwards, what have you. And in the middle is their team practicing against another team. And you could even have, like, interactive scoring of the practicing, right? Like, via cell phones and the like. I go to Monster Jam with my kids. They let you judge the monster truck rally. Why can't you judge the practice? It doesn't have to, you know, the coaches can do what they want with it, but, you know, the fans could judge, and at the end you tabulate the winner of the drills and practice or something via the fan vote. Well, why not? If Gravedigger and Monster Mutt can allow it, why can't the Eagles and the Falcons? Let's go to Antonio in Oakland. Antonio, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Antonio?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning. Hey, one of the things I remember as a kid, I think it was 78, I seen Jack Tatum hit Daryl Stanley and literally paralyzed, or he did paralyze him. And I'm thinking to myself as a kid, I'm thinking, I thought this was like a practice. I would like to see him get rid of two games. I don't know if it's in the CBA. I don't know what all pads, one day per practice, is that go into the preseason also, as far as them trying to, again, evaluate, and also we know the revenue cost. I mean, I could get into the Raiders are leaving now, but I got into a game for $35, no one's selling, everybody's giving them tickets. I don't know the answer, but my thing is I would like to see two games be taken away. And again, how do you evaluate these kids trying to make a team? And maybe it is a big hit they make in practice that gets the guy's attention, or a late bloomer that comes at the end of the last preseason game, and you see the guy, you know, the Terrell Davis story, where I guess he lays somebody out on a kickoff, and then he catches the attention of the staff, and
all of a sudden, who knows now? He's a Hall of Famer. So
yeah, Victor Richard Cruz is another guy. I mean, but look, I mean, these guys get paid to evaluate players, right? They, you know, they're all I hear about is how coaches show up at 4 o'clock in the morning and leave at 3:30 in the morning, and they go home and sleep for 15 minutes, and then they come back and they're there the whole time, and it's all preparation and it's grind, and they love it because it's a 24-hour job. All right, well, if that's the case, then you should be able to evaluate your players. You know, the GMs should be able to figure out a way to evaluate players that doesn't require, you know, preseason. It's not my job to. I'm just giving you my opinion, which is that basically my opinion is that preseason is pointless and worthless. So therefore, to make it more compelling as a talk radio topic, it's should we just get rid of the preseason? And then, yeah, of course there are moving parts to that, of course. But I have no financial stake in the NFL, so I don't care. I don't care. I understand that the money is what – we can talk about players making rosters all you want. The real reason the preseason exists is because they can charge you for it. That's the real reason it exists. If they can't charge you for the preseason, I bet you it goes away and all these problems with, you know, guys making the roster are solved some other way. 855-212-4227. Got some updates on the sagas that are ongoing in the NFL. I want to get into the thing with Brian Flores and his music choice at practice and the idea of Carly Lloyd from the U.S. Women's National Team getting a chance to kick some field goals. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's RobinLundberg. It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
Who's the song by? I know the song, obviously, but I'm trying to think. Is it Gloria Estefan?
Mark Wahlberg.
Oh. All right, this is Mark Wahlberg's one hit before he became
Marky.
This is
Mark,
the Funky Bunch.
Yes.
Yeah, Marky, which he gets pissed apparently if you refer to him ever as Marky Mark.
It's a great song. He should be, like, roll with it, embrace it.
Yeah, he should be proud of it, right? You know, but like he apparently gets and he does strike you as the kind of guy who might take himself a little seriously at times, right? You know, that whole Boston vibe.
Say hi to your mother for me.
Yeah,
like that kind of thing.
Yeah, that kind of just in general. If you ever meet Mark Wahlberg, don't call him Marky Mark. Just some
noted
friendly.
I'll make sure in the future. You know that's gonna happen.
Yeah. Or if he's with a group of guys, don't go like, "Hey, you guys look like a funky bunch." Don't do that to him either. And say, "Hey, you like the vibes here?" No, I don't like the vibes, but I do think
they're not necessarily good.
There's some good vibrations going on, perhaps. He might not like that. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. Let's go to Caesar in Dallas. Caesar, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Caesar?
Hey, what's going on, Robin? You know, he's talking about preseason football. You know, I definitely agree with you. It's meaningless. You know, it's useless. And there's other ways you can evaluate, you know, the round picks or, you know, other players, coaches are interested. I mean, if they're really interested in the player, they scout them throughout training camp, you know, through workouts. You know, they know what they're all about even before the preseason games. You know, the preseason games are just to see what they'll do, you know, in a real life game situation, you know. But other than that, it's meaningless, you know, it gets – players injured through caused ACL injuries, concussions, you know, and all sorts of injuries. You know, in my opinion, I would just cut it down to 2 to 3 games, change the rules a bit, you know, maybe even lower, change the quarters to 3 quarters, make it 10-minute quarters. You know, it's a little stuff.
It just sounds like you like slowly getting rid of it instead of just getting rid of it all at once. Let's shorten it and then keep less game, fewer games, fewer minutes per game, fewer timeouts, whatever. That just sounds like you just shortening it until it's actually gone. I think it should be gone. Look, it's August, right? What is it? 24th. So it's not exactly the prime time in sports, in the sports calendar. I used to have a boss who would say, never say that on the air. never tell the audience that it's not the most interesting. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm going to be honest with the audience. Doesn't mean they're not going to be listening. Doesn't mean I'm not going to do an entertaining show. You know, I'm worthless if I can't do an entertaining show regardless of what's going on. That's my job, right? Like, my job is to be entertaining and to be compelling and all that stuff. I shouldn't. Anybody can do the show after the biggest news in the world. Anybody can do that. It's doing a show like today that would make, you know, that makes talent stand out, I think. And I say that not to big myself up. Oh, I'm so talented. I can do a show whenever. Doesn't matter what's going on. No, I say that because when there isn't as much going on, what does happen gets elevated. Because we're in a very media-heavy, content-heavy era. You know, there's 24/7 news cycle, and there's social media. So social media constantly has people talking about something, elevating something. 24/7 media constantly has discussions on things. A show like right now. And you can get shows like this on many different platforms, many different mediums. So there's something to be talked about, which means content is necessary, right? Content is necessary. So any content that comes out becomes elevated, especially at this time, because there isn't other content available. It's why a pull quote from Baker Mayfield in a GQ profile can become a national story like this. What? Baker Mayfield said, what about Daniel Jones? Huh? How does he diss Daniel Jones? Like, something to talk about. Content. And the same thing goes for, on a more serious note, what happened with the Dolphins at their practice, where Brian Flores decided he was going to play 8 straight Jay-Z songs the day after Kenny Stills said his piece about the Jay-Z NFL deal. Now, look, you'll never hear me one time complain about someone playing Jay-Z songs. In fact, if Hove was the only thing that was played anywhere I went, I would be thrilled. I'd be very happy with it. I bet you it was a good practice. I bet you it was a real good practice. Banger after banger. Brian Flores set the practice off with banger after banger. However, in this specific case, I didn't love the tact, not because of what Kenny Stills said about the Jay-Z deal, and not to revisit that topic, but can we all just wait and see? The only opinion is wait and see on that, I think. That's the only real opinion that matters, wait and see what happens. But not because of what Kenny Stills said about that. I mean, Kenny Stills was fairly measured about that. If Brian Flores had played it because of what Kenny Stills said the day before about that, I would think it was hilarious. then I would think it was hilarious. What rubbed me the wrong way about it is because of what Kenny Stills had said about Stephen Ross and how Brian Flores didn't exactly have his back there. And that gave me the stick to sports, just shut up and play kind of vibe about the move to play the 8 straight Jay-Z songs. Brian Flores, though, because it became a thing, explained his decision.
I walked up to Kenny in front of the entire group and said, this is a challenge to you to get open, catch the football, and make plays for this team, regardless of what's going on outside of this building.
You know, and that was why he said he did it. And Flores went on to personalize his experience as a Black American, saying he supported Kenny Stills and the player protests and that he lived the reason they protest. He said he was an immigrant, or his son of immigrants. I apologize. He said, obviously, he's Black, that he grew up poor, that he had negative experiences with stop and frisk in New York. You know, he's from Brooklyn. So he personalized it after the fact. As far as the whole idea that it was going to be a challenge, I think what was intended as a lesson for Kenny Stills became a lesson for Brian Flores. the coach. How's that? Well, he thought he was going to convey whatever the message he said it was. Can you respond under any conditions? I don't really think that was going to be a distraction for anybody at Dolphins practice. But the lesson he learned is that you have to be aware, dude, that nothing is going to stay within the confines of your practice in this day and age of media if what you're doing ties into the biggest story. Right? Like, he thought this was just going to be a Dolphins practice thing. You're touching on a story that involves the NFL, Jay-Z, Colin Kaepernick. Talk about a Google search that's going to get a lot of results. So you're talking about a story that's been huge. Not just sports, like a story that goes beyond sports outlets. This is one of the ones that crosses over into CNN and the like. And they're talking about it. So for him to think that he could keep that confined to just the Dolphins was a mistake. He has to be aware of that as a coach. Now, I liked what he said afterwards. I think he showed a public support that he didn't during the Stephen Ross situation, and that could go a long way. And obviously, he personalized it, and it must be difficult for Brian Flores to feel the way I'm sure he does while also having to manage this issue for a football team. But I think he tried to send some sort of message or lesson to Kenny Stills, and it became a lesson for him in how the media works nowadays and how things are going to be received and how quickly something can become a thing. I'll get a little bit more into that coming up, but what are your just baseline thoughts on Flores' tactic of using a Jay-Z playlist to challenge Kenny Stills and his team?
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Dolphins head coach Brian Flores plays 8 straight Jay-Z songs. He says it was a challenge to Kenny Stills. Afterwards, Flores was clearly a little taken aback by the fact that this became a big story. And you know, big story is relative because of the time of year, like I said. But the NFL Jay-Z deal was a big story. And therefore, if you're doing something that relates to said big story, especially in slower time, you have to be aware that it doesn't stay within the confines of your team. And I think so it started out as a lesson intended for Kenny Stills and became one for Brian Flores. Now, I think he made a proper adjustment and he personalized his story and probably squashed this. So maybe it no longer is a story. But what did you make of the idea of him playing 8 straight Jay-Z songs to challenge Kenny Stills? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. And I want to explore the point a little bit about the current media climate and why this became what it was. You know, I used Baker Mayfield as an example before because Baker Mayfield, now, he doesn't seem to care in general, but he cared this time around, given that it looked like he just took an unsolicited shot, you know, a random out-of-pocket shot at Daniel Jones. But Baker Mayfield's pull quote from GQ became a big thing. And you know what that was? That was a magazine profile, right? So a writer cozies up with Baker Mayfield, spends a little time with him to see what makes him tick, and writes a profile. How many people read that entire GQ profile? Raise your hand if you read it. I don't see any hands. I can look out into the audience that's listening right now. I don't see that many hands. But that was a whole profile. So there were a lot of words in that article, right? And about 30 of them, you know, a handful of the words are what made the headline. One pull quote from a long profile. For all we know, you know, it could have talked about how Baker Mayfield loves to collect stamps. And stamp collecting is his favorite hobby. And he loves the lineage of history that can be told through stamps. Because you have stamps from all different walks of life. Like that, that, for all we know, that could be in the profile. But because he said, I can't believe the Giants took Daniel Jones, my mind was blown. Boom. Story. Because that's all you need. It's one quote. One soundbite. One little thing. And it becomes a big thing. It becomes a big thing. And Baker Mayfield has to be aware. And he can choose whether he cares or not, but he has to be aware that anything he says or does can become a story. I mean, personally, I like the fact that he says and does what he does. You know, for his sake, he better be great as a quarterback. If he's great as a quarterback, people are going to love it. They're going to love it. If he's not great, people are going to crush him. That's basically what it's going to be. But Baker Mayfield's not allowed to be like kind of good. He's not allowed to be like average. You know, he's either going to be great or he's people are going to say he sucks. Like there's no way around it for Baker. But that's the media climate. And Brian Flores of the Dolphins has to realize that's the media climate. So yeah, you're playing these songs at your practice. But who's at your practice? Beat writers. And all it takes is a tweet, right? Don't take anything more than a tweet. Beat writers notices you've played 3 Jay-Z songs in a row to start practice. Tweets. Hey, Brian Flores played 3 straight Jay-Z songs to start practice. Coincidence? Question mark? Story. There you have it. It's a story. Somebody else gets a hold of it. One reputable outlet prints a story on it. Guys like me talk about it. We feed ourselves. It's a machine.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, as a head coach, isn't your job, one of your jobs, to, like, minimize the distractions? Like, you're like by doing this, you're giving your team a distraction. Like, there's enough going on around this football team. Clearly, they're in a rebuilding year. They're in the rebuilding process. This is just a distraction. And again, a guy like Kenny Stills, he's been a pretty reliable player for them the last 4 years. I think he has like 24 touchdowns. He's been one of their more reliable players. So again, isn't this maybe somebody that deserves the benefit of the doubt as well?
Yeah, and he seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders from when he speaks. I think, you know, again, what rubbed me the wrong way about it wasn't the Jay-Z aspect of it. It was the Stephen Ross aspect of it. And the fact that Flores didn't have his back in that situation, because I think Kenny Stills felt very passionately that he had to put in. And look, that's not good for his job status. That's not an easy thing to do. The guy who signs his checks, the guy in charge, he put him on blast publicly. But I think he felt passionately about that. He felt, look, dude, I have to let you know it's not cool. Like, you can't simultaneously have the position that you have a racial equality initiative and be having a fundraiser for a guy who's spouting racist rhetoric all the time. Like, you can't do that. Those two things don't jive. Sorry, bro. And that's what Kenny Stills felt compelled to say. And Flores kind of undercut him there. Now, I think Flores tried to walk that back with what he said the other day about his own story and how, you know, what the player protest did was shine a light on his own story. But yeah, you're right, Anthony. He did create this story. That's what I'm saying. It was supposed to be a lesson for Stills and became a lesson for Flores. He created it. And you know how much football coaches hate distraction? They hate that word. It's the dreaded D word, distraction. And Flores comes from New England, right? Where they don't even let you have a personality. Unless you're Gronk, you're not allowed to, or Tom Brady, who's allowed to wear hats now. We found out he can wear hats. And try to trademark Tom Terrific. You know, I think all this, there's one moment where I trace all this back to where it started, where the media climate became like this. And it's almost like post 2010, I think. It's pre 2010 and post 2010. The decision. And more importantly, not the decision, that pep rally. Remember, everybody knows the pep rally, right? The not one, not two, not three, not four, not whatever he said. Because in a previous era, and that was like right when it changed, in a previous era, that would have been just for the fan base that was there. And I think that's what they thought when they did that, 100%. I don't think they thought that clip was going to become what it was. I think they thought they were talking to the Miami Heat fans and they were just being like super animated and, hey, you're the Heat fans. One, we're going to win 100 championships, Heat fans. Yay. Like, I think that's what they thought. And all of a sudden, it was everywhere. And that's when the game, John, changed. Because now, if you use LeBron for an example, every single move you make can be scrutinized to the point of absurdity. I mean, with LeBron, it gets to the point of absurdity where people are mad about layup lines and should LeBron get Carmelo Anthony a job? Like every, you know, there's no content. So people have to make up content. Like, should LeBron get Carmelo Anthony a job? Don't be ridiculous. People are being ridiculous. LeBron has proven that the entire generation of people is terrible because he did a layup. Like, what? Do you hear yourself? And he epitomizes all this because he's the first guy I can ever recall who, like, every single move he makes on the court, on or off, is a judgment on him, right? And it became a cottage industry to talk about LeBron. And therefore, when there is no content, you just go to the old LeBron tree. Oh, I'll just pull the LeBron lever and talk about LeBron and say something inflammatory about LeBron and get a reaction. So he's the case study. And nobody knows it better than he does, right? He knows when he's going to make a story. He'll time a tweet about the Rich Paul rule, for instance, right? You think he sends that and doesn't know what's going to be everywhere? Of course he does. On the flip side of that, why do you think he puts his jersey over his mouth when he's talking and trying to say something private to somebody on the court? It's not to be cute. There's a real reason for that. Because everything he says or does is going to be scrutinized. Now, he's an extreme example of it. He's an extreme example of it. But it's proof that you can't make a move at the level these guys are at and not expect it to garner some attention, not expect it to become a story. And if you're involved, you need to know that. 855-212-4227, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter, 855-212-4CBS. Now, to the same token, one of the downsides of all that is that people can go hysterical about nothing, and people just love to get outraged about everything, right? Like, or be critics about everything. XFL logos, what have you, right? Like, nothing is beyond just crapping on. and I kind of thought the XFL logos were kind of cool. I don't hate them. There's a couple that I didn't love. But overall, I thought they're kind of cool. But that's just an example. Like, the, you know, on the flip side of all that, is like the really awesome stuff that can happen because of the current media climate. Anybody's story can get shared. You know, righteous causes can be promoted. And then just like fun viral clips can get out there. Quirky things that happen can get out there. And I say that in reference to Carly Lloyd hitting that 55-yard field goal at Eagles practice. Again, in a different era, she does that, and that's like written about maybe in the newspaper as a note. Hey, Carly Lloyd was at Eagles practice, and she hit a 55-yard field goal. But we've all learned from experience, right? There is a huge difference between seeing it and reading it and the shareability of video. And it's almost like to the point of absurdity at times and defying logic at times. If it didn't happen on camera, it almost didn't happen. But if it does happen on camera, it's out into the universe and can be shared and shared and shared. So everybody saw that Carly Lloyd hit that 55-yard field goal at Eagles practice. And that's a cool thing. It's like, oh, look at that. It's cool. And, you know, right after that happened, you got people sort of joking, I think tongue-in-cheek, saying, someone signed Carly Lloyd. Chicago Bears, sign Carly Lloyd. We know you have kicker problems. And due to, again, I think part of it's the time of year. Due to that, she gets asked about it. And she actually said that she's heard the smattering of talk, and there's been some interest actually expressed. Now, I don't know what that means. And she also said she's fully committed to the U.S. Women's National Team and all that. But she broached the topic of a woman doing that at the NFL level. And she did say that she thought the time was kind of ripe for that. Which, if she's going to take it seriously, or at least semi-seriously and not dismiss it, then I think we can take it semi-seriously and not dismiss it. So what would you think of that? What would you think of the idea? We'll use her as the example, but of course it doesn't have to be her specifically. What would you think of the idea of Carly Lloyd getting a crack at being an NFL kicker? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. I think there are two issues at play with that notion, with that topic. Carly Lloyd getting a crack at being a kicker at the NFL level. One is whether she could do the job and has the skill set to do the job, which I'll get to in a second. And then two is the elephant in the room, which is how the idea of her being involved in a play where there's contact would go over and what people think about that. Those are the two aspects of it. But just in general, the idea, Carly Lloyd, another female soccer player, kicking field goals at the NFL level. What do you make of it? The premise. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.